I'd like now to welcome Carol Norton. She is with Wild Earth Guardians. They're based here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte.
Great to have you back on the air. It's been about a year since you were last here talking, more than a year, since you were talking about Stream Team.
That's correct. We do Stream Team every year, and when I say we, I mean Wild Earth Guardians. It is an amazing series of events that happens from the end of March till the middle of April.
And what happens?
Well, what we do is we plant 35,000 trees over the course of 5 planting days. It's a stunning achievement that can actually make a real difference on the ground in the fight against climate change. We do it with the help of hundreds of volunteers, and I'm hoping that some of your audience will come out and join us.
And so that's a staggering number of trees.
It is a staggering number of trees, and the prep time, people don't always realize what it takes to prepare for that. We actually start preparing the ground in December. So that means we go out to these places, we remove the non-natives, we begin to cut the cottonwoods, harvest the willows, and just get ready.
Now, wait, what are some examples of the non-native trees?
Salt cedar, tamarisk, also
Russian olive.
There's a number, any number of grasses that are out there that are just cheat grass that are... They're not part of the evolutionary pattern of this area.
And they drink a whole lot of water.
You know, there's lots of studies being done. It's not entirely clear how much more they drink. The cottonwood and willow also also use water, and cottonwoods and willows evolved in the system. The other species are dependent upon them, and the system works when that's what's in the system.
And so the ground is prepared, and then how do you come up with all these tens of thousands of trees?
It's a process. So the cottonwoods, we plant 20-foot poles. They look like broomsticks. These are not little seedlings. They're literally 20 feet long. And you can either cut a cottonwood pole by cutting it as a branch or at the ground level. And you want poles that are about 2 to 3 inches, 2 inches at the base.
So wait a minute. You go to an actual living cottonwood tree and you cut off a branch?
You could. That's one way you could do it. And people do it that way. What we mostly do is we work on either private or public land. We get permission, of course. And we go to places that were flooded a year before, maybe 2 years before, and cottonwoods are coming up 2, 6, 8 inches apart. They won't all survive.
So you take out ones that wouldn't survive anyway.
Exactly. So we go in and cut and thin to create a healthier environment there, and we get these cottonwood poles. Once you have them, you have to keep them in water. They're incredibly sensitive. So we'll put them in giant troughs of water, transport them out to the site on our trailer, and they'll hang out there waiting to be planted.
And then wonderful volunteers, many of whom come back year after year. I met some of them last year because I actually went on one of these camping trips. They come back with their children, and they spend a sweaty day or two planting trees.
It's remarkable. We do have one this year, two events that are 2 days, although you can come for just one or the other day, but you can also come and spend the night, which is fun in and of itself. The whole families come, multiple generations come, people have been coming, people like Norbert Spurlock has been coming for 10, 12 years now. There's others that are part of our tribe, our family, and it's been remarkable how much support we get from the community.
So they go out and plant trees now. How long have you been doing this?
Well over a decade.
And tell us about some of the first areas where 10 years ago people were out planting these little cottonwood poles. What do they look like now?
You know, you can go see it for yourself. It's pretty remarkable. To Santa Fe, the easiest one to see is our Santa Fe River Preserve. We started that one many years ago, more than 5 or 6. And if you go out there, you'll see where once there were non-natives, Russian olives, tamarisk, there are now streams that are beautifully shaded by cottonwoods and willows. In the last couple of years, we've seen willow flycatcher, an endangered species. Last year, we saw beaver sign for the first time. We believe that there is just a fuller, healthier entire ecosystem.
There's also the extent to which fish are better adapted when you've got trees hanging over the river.
It's one of those direct links. So you plant trees, trees grow up, trees provide shade, shade cools the water temperature drops, the fish are able to come back, the fish and all the species that support the fish, the different kinds of algae and microbes that support the fish also cleanse the water. And in fact, we got one of our first contracts from the New Mexico Environment Department under Johnson because of a very farsighted Environment Department leader who gave us a contract. And we've been able to clean up the water beneath the water plant, Santa Fe water plant.
The Santa Fe water plant?
Yes. So
was it dirty under the plant?
The water that was coming out was not meeting the standards. And so by the time it goes through the public's. By the time it goes through the public's preserve, where we've done this restoration, it does meet standards.
So when are these stream team events happening?
Great. One has already come and gone. That was our first one down outside of Socorro. The next one that's coming up is the Rio Puerco Tree Planting Days. That's Friday and Saturday, March 27th and 28th.
That's the one I went to last year.
It is.
And brought my three dogs.
And there are more than three dogs at these events.
And was afterwards called by you the worst camper you've ever met.
There were extenuating circumstances, I understand. It's not a night where you're going to get a lot of sleep if you're going to spend the night. So you are welcome to spend the night with us. We have a giant potluck. We have a big fire. We barbecue. Someone brought a duck. Was it a duck?
No, they said it was a duck. It was a piece of chicken, but the live spread in all sorts of ways. And we also learned that if you barbecue over Russian olive wood, your food doesn't taste good. Awesome. Because Russian olive wood concentrates sulfur.
It could be disgusting.
Nevertheless, fun is had by all.
Absolutely.
So that's next weekend, the 27th, 28th of March, and then it goes on
and then
through
we go,
April.
That's right.
And May.
So San Marcos is right here on 14th. It's a very close drive. That one's April 4th. Santa Fe River, April 18th. And then Blue Water Creek Tree Planting, which is outside of Albuquerque, on May 1st and 2nd, another overnight. And if you've been out to Blue Water Creek State Park, you know how beautiful it is out there. Just stunning. There are a few very old, very beautiful cottonwoods still there. Amazing.
So this is also a way for people to get to know the rest of the state if they're stuck living in Albuquerque or Santa Fe or wherever they happen to live.
I highly recommend it. It's a great way to connect. And I don't know of a more visceral way to connect to our planet, our Earth, our mother, than to go out and see a land that's been devastated. By the time we've finished prepping it and pulling out the non-natives, it's pretty bleak. And you spend a day with 50 others or 100 others, you plant a couple thousand cottonwoods, and it's a forest. It's stunning.
Especially after a year or two go by.
Especially after a year or two go by. But even that day, you see the difference you've made.
What do you ever talk to people who actually live in the areas that you're going to do the planting? What do they think of this crew of people showing up in the middle of...
We've been so fortunate. People love the work that's being done, and even non-traditional allies of this kind of work get it. I mean, when you see the results, it's hard to not fall in love again with the stream and the river and the water and the environment. So people have been great.
So Stream Team, if people want to find out more about that, they can call Wild Earth Guardians at 988-9126, extension 1151, or go to wildearthguardians.org. That phone number is in the 505 area code. Wild Earth Guardians is doing all sorts of other things as well. Have you been involved in the legislature?
We've been involved with the legislature this year. We're working to protect 5,000 miles of pristine streams, our most cleanest waters in our wildest forests. And we call that our Clean Water Wild Forest campaign. The governor has provided support for that, has taken a leadership role in it, actually. And has been a phenomenal environmentalist in this in many regards, but the there's been a couple of memorials in the House and the Senate, and we've supported or moved against those as needed.
And there are also ongoing legal battles that you're fighting, and one of them is in relation to a division of the federal government, which I'd never heard of, probably nobody's ever heard of except if you're in it or affected by it, called Wildlife Services.
It's remarkable. This has been such an eye-opening experience for me. We just released a 100-page report called War on Wildlife, and it turns out that in the Department of Agriculture, the Wildlife Services Agency kills 1 million animals each year, spending $100 million to do it. This rogue agency has been...
Wait. How many animals do they kill each year?
A million.
They kill a million wild animals a year?
Million wild animals a year.
What kind of... I mean, we're not talking about insects.
No. I mean, there's... They kill cougars, coyotes, endangered species like the wolf. They kill birds. And they do it mostly at the behest of people on private, sometimes on public land. So sometimes you get public land ranchers or... But it's a very small special interest group that believe that these animals are destroying their livelihood. So here's an interesting one.
Basically ranchers.
It's a wide variety. So you get people growing birdseed, asking this agency to kill birds so that the birds don't eat their birdseed, so that they can send it to market and sell it as birdseed.
Right, interesting.
What's really difficult, or what I find most difficult to understand about this organization, is that it doesn't really work health-wise, economically, or environmentally. There's many reasons for that. It's biologically just indiscriminate, and the killing is indiscriminate. So, for instance, if they're called in to kill coyotes, they won't just kill the coyote; they kill the land. So they'll set out poison across a whole area. And this is an agency that has not passed its audits for the last couple of years. It does no inventory of its chemicals like sodium cyanide. I mean, stuff that you would consider the terrorists
they
would use.
They kill people in the movies with cyanide.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's not like this agency has shown a lot of responsibility.
So it's not like they send out hunters with guns to kill the coyotes. They actually poison a relatively large area and, oh well, come what may, environmentally.
Yep, and you could imagine them doing that with birds. Funny thing is they do also send out agents with guns. There have actually been 10 deaths of agents who have been part of aerial gunning programs where the plane has gone down and killed them.
Oh my goodness.
So not only are they killing animals, they're killing humans.
We're talking to Carol Norton of Wild Earth Guardians. So this is an agency that you are... What is Wild Earth Guardians doing?
Wild Earth Guardians, we started taking a look at this. We've been tracking this agency for almost 10 years. It's finally gotten to the point where we felt like we needed to do something and something bold. And so we have a 4-year plan to deauthorize this agency. We want it off the books. So there may be some tasks that this agency is responsible for, a small percentage of their work that is useful, but we feel any of that work can actually be done by other agencies. So, for instance, they work at airports to make sure that birds, planes don't run into birds. Well,
and go down in the Hudson River.
And go down in the Hudson River, exactly. So we direct people to look at the work that the Portland Airport has done. Very good work. They do it themselves. They don't need a federal agency to do the work for them. We just feel like this kind of rogue behavior is so atrocious that it's not worth anything, any good that they're doing. We need to deauthorize them.
And that's a chunk of change that they're costing you and me, the taxpayers.
So correct. This is our tax dollars at work. So as I said, it doesn't really work economically as well. I mean, $100 million, is that really what we want to be spending our money on in a climate like this?
So Wild Earth Guardians does most of their work on public lands, is that right?
That's exactly correct. So we're mostly concerned with public lands. And what we do is we monitor activity on public lands by federal, city, state, county agencies. When we see something that we feel has a better solution, we'll advocate for that solution. And that's been that is the work that we spend most of our time on. We want to advocate for good, positive solutions. There are times we find that people are not willing to come to the table or don't believe that a solution is needed, and we then litigate.
And you have had quite a number of successes, I mean many successes, in litigation over time. It's one of those things where a number of lawyers spending their time and energy doing that can really, behind the scenes, do a great amount of good.
I think that there's a case that could be made that the revolution is going to happen in the courts.
What does it mean for an organization like Wild Earth Guardians now that there is a Democratic administration in Washington?
It's good news. I mean, we are one of the organizations that called out Salazar and his stance on endangered species, which has not been...
Tell us who Salazar is.
Ken Salazar is our new Secretary of the Interior. He's from Colorado. He's a rancher. He has not been a traditional supporter of the Endangered Species Act. And, in fact, last Friday he announced that he was going to go about delisting wolves in some of the northwestern states.
And I wonder why he was appointed to that agency.
You know, this is the Obama administration's what they're doing. And you hire someone who can talk to both sides of the equation, both sides of the stream, whatever it is, and hope that you can come to some kind of resolution. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how well it works. I am an Obama supporter, so.
And so, so you're working on wildlands. You're mainly focused in New Mexico and Colorado, is that correct?
We work in 11 western states, so
okay.
The interior west. We have offices in Bozeman, Montana, Denver, Colorado, Phoenix, Arizona, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. We do different things in different states. So we do a lot of work to protect cougars in Montana, which we've already successfully done in Colorado and had made strong strides here in New Mexico. We are taking our clean water campaign to Colorado. In Arizona, we protect sagebrush sea, which is beautiful sagebrush steppe with creatures, species like the sage grouse, beautiful, beautiful places around the West.
I've been looking at this whole phenomenon of the economic downturn from a lot of different perspectives, and one of them is when there is a lack of money and a lack of capital, development grinds to a halt, and in a way that's good for wildlife, even as nonprofit organizations like yours are struggling to bring in dollars.
It's the silver lining to the environment, the economic downturn. There is an environmental plus to it. It gives us space to save, preserve, protect, restore places that were slated to go under. No one's going to be building a golf course here in the next few years, I don't think.
We're talking to Carol Norton of Wild Earth Guardians. So the situation of rivers in New Mexico, how are we doing?
It's an interesting process. Water quality has been amazingly supportive of department, has been amazingly supportive of our Clean Waters initiative. I would say that we have excellent support from the state of New Mexico. 51% of our waters do not meet Clean Water Act standards. So there's clearly an issue.
In our rivers.
In our rivers.
Are we taking that water out of the river and filtering it to drink?
We are now. A lot of that we are now. The Chama River San Juan diversion has come online, or will be coming online, and that's absolutely true. So our stance has always been protect the best. So if it already meets the standard, let's keep it that way. That's good for everyone in New Mexico. It's expensive to clean water, very expensive to clean water. Just let's protect what we got and then restore the rest. Protect the best, restore the rest.
And so 50% of our rivers are not meeting clean water standards. Terrifying. And at the same time, how are we doing in terms of fish, wildlife, and other natural animals living around the rivers?
You know, we're very lucky in New Mexico. I just came back from a week in Denver, and there are people everywhere. everywhere. New Mexico, population 2 million. There's still room to share. In Denver, people are beginning to see a lot of coyotes in the city and in the surrounding suburbs. And people who have not been exposed to coyotes before freak out. They panic. And there's actually one town in Denver, or just south of Denver, that is hired someone to shoot in public parks coyotes. So
that's not an endangered species.
Not an endangered species, but not really the solution either. I mean, the reality is that the coyotes will probably be here long after us. So we have started, we have actually organized a number of people, over 70 people who go out in shifts, and they haze the coyotes, which is what the wildlife biologists have taught us to do. So we scare them so they become afraid of humans and stay away. And that behavior, that seems to be working. Here in New Mexico, I think there's fewer people. There's a closer connection. I don't mean to be judgmental about that, but there is a connection to the land that supports us, and people seem to have a very good idea of what's important.
Wild Earth Guardians also does work on climate change.
We do. It is a program that we started up 2 years ago when we realized that if we don't work on that, everything else is pretty much moot. We do it in a variety of ways. Like all of our programs, we like to have the carrot and stick approach. We believe that New Mexico can be 100% use only renewable energy, 100% renewable energy. So we're working with a number of groups, which I would name if I could remember them all, but the renewable energy businesses in this city have been phenomenal and very supportive to show how that can be done, how we could all have 100% renewable energy.
It's really a no-brainer because, I mean, we've got the sun.
We do have
the sun. A small corner of our public lands would provide electricity for the whole state.
And we had 2% of White Sands, I think, is 2-5% of White Sands would do it. So we also have wind, as we know here in the spring. And then the stick is we're going after coal, and we believe that coal has so many ill effects, just health effects, environmental effects, economics, that there are many, many different ways to show how that isn't working. So we go after that in a variety of ways.
Such as?
We filed a suit to stop a couple of coal mines based on their air pollution standards. We're doing the same with coal-fired power plants, mostly by going after their air pollution, them not meeting air pollution standards.
Clean coal being one of the new oxymorons of our time.
I can't believe Obama actually says that.
I can't either.
Someone intelligent saying something like clean coal is mind-boggling
to me. It's not that it's theoretically impossible, but it's non-existent.
It's a little disingenuous. It really is.
Carol Norton is with Wild Earth Guardians, and Stream Team, once again, for those of you who are just tuning in, is an opportunity for everybody who's listening right now to go on a tree planting expedition. For more information on that, you can call 988-9126, extension 1151.
There's a great piece to that, too, which is you can raise money to plant trees, so for every $10 that's raised, we can plant another tree. And the staff raises a lot of the funds themselves over the course of time. And that's something the community can do as well. So you can go to our website and buy a tree. You can ask your friends and family to support you by purchasing trees. And it's something that makes a direct difference to our locale.
Carol Norton, thanks so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Wild Earth Guardians is on the web at wildearthguardians.org. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Jazz Experience. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, my name is Mary Charlotte. We will see you tomorrow. Adios.